You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world. So it's February as I'm recording this, and back in December, early December, I asked you guys, hey, I want to get an Akashic Records reading. It's something I had heard about, but I didn't exactly know what it was or what a reading entailed, but I had a growing interest in learning about it. So I thought, where else to go than my community? And you guys delivered. You had sent me a list of 35, 40 of your favorite Akashic Records readers. It was so hard to sift through all of them and reach out to them and try to get some that would come on the show and talk. But I got one of the most popular, highly suggested Akashic Record readers, Kat Fowler. Kat is a lightworker, an international teacher, speaker, and author on spirituality and meditation based out of New York City. She is also an advanced energy therapist, the Akashic Records reader, a yoga teacher trainer, Reiki master teacher, and she's the host of her own podcast called the Soul Awakening Podcast. Kat has taught trainings all over the world since 2012, and she's been mentoring students in New York City and internationally for over a decade. Her life's work is dedicated to raising the frequency of the collective through sharing spiritual practices to help you discover the truest wisdom of your highest self within. My reading with Kat was incredible, and at first, when I reached out to her, I had no idea that Akashic Records readings were so private and personable. So when I reached out, I said, hey, do you want to come on the show and give me a reading live so we can show the audience what it entails and everything that goes into it and what the conversation is like? And she kindly was like, I don't think that's the best idea. I mean, we can if you'd really like to, but they get really personal. And so something in my intuition said, oh, I think she's right. So we recorded this back in December. Late December, and I don't know what else to tell you guys besides for the fact that the things that came up during this reading provided me closure on some internal struggles and mental issues and triggers that I have been dealing with since I was a teenager that I never thought would go away, that were just things that I would have to live with and accept. The things she told me about my past lives through this Akashic Records reading and how it ties into my life today, just, I can feel the tightness in my heart as I say this. It just gave me closure and helped me move on. And it's all a part of a bigger picture of things that I want to manifest and things I want to accomplish now that I'm free from those shackles. I can't recommend an Akashic Records reading enough. I think one of my favorite parts, besides for the massive closure on a few really difficult things of my life, was learning that in a past life, one of my most prominent, I was a celebrity. I was a famous jazz singer. Perhaps that's why you guys say my voice is like velvet. I don't know. Carried over from a past life? You never know. So I'm going to start this podcast. I shared a little clip of what Kat and I's reading was like. The rest is going to remain private. And if you guys get an Akashic Records reading, you'll see why they need to remain private. But here is a sample of my reading with Kat, and then we go into our podcast where we talk all things Akashic Records.
They're saying also in that lifetime there was an element of control around you, meaning like, I don't know if you had managers or just people around you that were kind of telling you you have to act a certain way, you have to wear these clothes, you have to be this way, and that also drove you crazy because it wasn't like, it wasn't you, it wasn't who you wanted to be. And so they're saying that was what was happening in that old lifetime. And so now they're saying that's like a similar pattern or a similar feeling that you may have, even if it's more subconscious in this life. But they want you to know, like, this is a new energy and this is, you can now have an integration and a blending of the two. They're saying, like, you can have a very public persona, but then you can also now bring the aspects of who you really are in a vulnerable way into that public persona. And people are really, like, they're saying urgently, like, itching to hear that aspect of you. Thank you.
Okay, so your question from We're Not Really Strangers is, what's the best gift I can give myself in this chapter of my life?
The ability to rest and take time off and not feel guilty about it.
Just take the words out of my mind, because that is exactly where I'm at. I'm thinking of taking Wednesdays. Usually on weekends, I'm like, okay, no phone, no computer. But now I'm thinking Wednesdays also, but it seems so bizarre, like middle of the work week. How could I force myself to stop? Mm-hmm. I need to. I think, you know, for people like you and I, we're spiritual teachers. We really hold space, especially you giving those really intimate Akashic records readings, which we're going to get into that. I'm going to ask you lots of questions about how do you protect your energy? So I think collectively we're just feeling like I need to turn all of the spiritual teachings I'm giving to others into myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have been kind of quiet lately that have been in this place. I think since like the conjunction into now, it's been kind of like a hibernation.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of information coming in, but then also the collective is going through so many really big waves of emotional, you know, purging every time some event comes up. So it's positive because it's leaving, but at the same time, if you're empathetic or intuitive, you feel it, and it could just be really intense.
I agree. The best gift I can give myself in this chapter of my life is rest and mothering myself, because I pour a lot of nurturing energy into people I work with. It's hard for me to really separate client from friend. I mean, I call it my Instagram fam. I look at everybody. I get upset and think, oh, if I don't respond to every DM, they're going to think I don't like them. Oh, sensitive. You know, I admire you though, because you've done interviews, correct me, right? ABC, like you have been on some really big name shows.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on Yoga Journal, Yoga Magazine, New York Times. What was that like?
Well, it was really interesting. Like, I never worked with a PR firm or anything like that. It was just, I was in a little bit of a different portion of my career at that time. I was teaching yoga and I was doing it internationally. And so, I mean, I also lived in New York City for the last 11 years. So I think like everything is kind of here when it comes to especially the marketing aspect. And so it's all like word of mouth, and it's very small. Even though New York is huge, it's such a small community in different circles, like especially wellness. And so it just kind of everything just happened and fell into place. And then I got really used to it. And I changed, you know, I shifted my career, and now I'm more into the healing and intuitive work. It's always a person that you're talking to. So regardless of whatever company they're working for, you know, you're just sharing what you know. And yeah. I feel like I'm the kind of person that I'm always just getting the information, experiencing it, and then sharing it. Like there's not a lot of downtime.
Same. That's exactly how I feel. And how did you get into spirituality? Like, what's your journey look like? Did you grow up in a spiritual family?
Yeah, I did. But that's not always like, you know, it was a spiritual household in the sense that it wasn't traditional. My mom and my dad, they met in an ashram. And so I was raised a vegetarian and very, even though we went to private school, you know, Catholic school at some point, it still, our beliefs were alternative. And it was great. You know, I was around a lot of Mahatmas, we call them. It's like a Swami. Since I was a baby, but you know, I really rebelled against all of that when I was a teenager. I completely wanted nothing to do with it at all. All I wanted to do was to fit in and not be the weird one. And nice. So, you know, and then I also had a lot, you know, I was dealing with quite a bit of trauma. And so it was just a wild journey until probably college. And then that's when I actually started to find it for myself. And that's when I went to a yoga class, and that's kind of how it all, I had my first clairaudient experience in my first yoga class, telling me this is what I have to do. And at the time I was studying psychology, so I was like, okay, I will follow this because I've never experienced that before. And it was very clear. Yeah. And then, so I went down that path for some time with yoga, meditation, and all of that. And then I shifted. I had another one of those major awakenings. And then I shifted into the healing work and the energy healing and the Akashic records.
Totally in your flow. Listen to that. You know, it's always something like negative or hard in life that breaks us open. I got into spirituality because, like you, I was raised very alternatively by an Aquarius mother who was always like, why are we drinking milk? Why do people get baptized? She was always questioning the norm. I'm lucky I have that in her. But I didn't get into spirituality until I found myself in a marriage I didn't want to be in. I found myself in a career that was draining my soul at a health insurance company. And it just cracked me open. And you get to that point, if you're stubborn like me, where the universe is like, I've been whispering. Well, I'm just going to push you over the cliff because you haven't been paying attention, and wakes you up.
Yeah. And it happens in layers. I feel like, you know, when I first went to yoga was because after my breakup from my first love. So I get that. And then the second really serious awakening happened when I turned 30 and all of my past life wounding and trauma surfaced. Everything came up at once. All of this, like, it surfaced as literally PTSD. I couldn't take the subway. It was like a really intense situation, and I had to do a massive amount of healing. And then that's what led my gifts to open and me to actually find the path that worked. Energy healing is really what worked for me, and also working within the records, those two things. And then that's why I offer that. And I did a lot of courses because I didn't plan on offering that to the world. I just wanted to know what was going on with me, because I knew it wasn't a chemical thing or a physical thing or something I wanted to do in that way. I wanted to treat it holistically. And so then that's where I realized, oh, this is a spiritual crisis. This isn't anything other than that.
I love that spiritual crisis. Yeah. You know, my audience knows right now I'm struggling with some health issues, and like my labs say I have really low cortisol, which would mean I should struggle to get out of bed in the morning, but mornings are my sacred time. My spirit feels so alive, ready for a new day. I love it. And so I thought, this isn't right. Like I'll look at these numbers and say, okay, physically my blood tells me this, but like you said, I feel like it's a spiritual crisis. I'm just burnt out. I feel like all my levels are low because my spirit is low from giving.
Yeah. And energetically, I think a lot of people come to energy healing when they've tried everything and nothing has worked. They've tried everything. They've ran all the tests they've done, working with conventional medicine, non-conventional, you know, like acupuncture, nutritionists, everything. And then if it's still not working, then it's definitely something in the energy. It's always in the energy, but usually it takes someone to get to that point where they're just like, I'll try anything at this point. and then there, what's happening starts to heal. So that's, typical. Yeah. It's like a real common thing.
It takes a lot for you to like trust the clairs, I call them clairaudient. Like, cause I've been receiving a lot of that here in Charleston. I mean, my partner and I got this motorhome to move around. We wanted to go somewhere new every week and go find our forever home. But the moment we came here, we left the Keys and came right to South Carolina because it's familiar. I used to live here. So I was like, let's go check it out. And the moment I got here, just everything flowed between serendipitous meetings, being connected with energy healers, holistic doctors. And I just heard a voice. I hear it every day that says you are exactly where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And it's hard though. Like, how did you learn to trust it and not get your ego in the way of saying, no, I'm hearing things. No.
Well, I would say, I mean, it depends on like the different things that come in. There's the different senses that we have, which is like clairaudience, like we're talking about, which is hearing. And then there's clairvoyance, which is seeing. And then there's claircognizance, which is just the knowing. And then there's many more. There's like way more than just five extra ones. There's tons. And but those are really the main ones that a lot of people work with. And so for me, you know, it's hard at first because you're just like, did I think of that? Was that my thought? Because a lot of times in the very beginning, especially clairaudience comes in the form of thoughts for a lot of people when they're communicating with their guides. And it sounds like your own voice, but almost like a whisper, but it's not information that you would know or that you would have prompted yourself to do. And so a lot of times people are communicating with their guides or with their higher self, and then it sounds like them, but it's information that's like really helpful guidance that you probably would have never thought of yourself. And so for me, at least, I remember, you know, having this period of being like, wow, like I'm really tuned in today, but it's not, I didn't know what that was. And then when I started doing readings and sessions on people, and I just started saying, okay, I'm getting this really bizarre information that I would have no idea how that relates to someone, like, oh, they're they have some association with this, you know, animal or something, this power animal or something coming through. And then I tell them, and they're like, that's my favorite, you know, animal. I have a poster in my room, whatever. And so it was confirmations like this. So it was a lot of really my work with other people, repeating whatever information came through, and then them confirming it, whether it's through crying or through like a, you know, oh my God, I can't, how do you know that? And then that started to build my confidence in the information I was receiving. But in the beginning before that, you know, it's hard to discern. I think you'll know a way to discern when your gifts start opening, and a lot of people's gifts are opening in this year after the conjunction, is really like, it feels like very loving advice, and you feel very calm and peaceful when you hear it. It's never fear-based. It's never like, you know, something to scare you into anything. It's very, very loving. A lot of times it's very stern, but it's, you can tell that it's something from a higher power in some capacity because of that.
Yeah. When I was listening to you say there's way more just clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. Have you heard that there's more? Because a lot of people in mainstream spirituality know that there's 3D, there's 4D, but a lot of people mistake that 5D is the be all end all. Have you heard that it goes up to like 300D?
I've heard different things. I do interviews with, I've done interviews with channeled energy, channeled beings, and like spirit guides of someone. They're all star beings, and they say it's around 33 dimensions. A lot of information says that there's 33. A lot of like occult teachings say 33 as well, and 33 being like the master level, which is like the Godhead or source or God, however we want to call it. So that's kind of where I feel we're at, that we have these like 33 dimensions, but that's within our own little universal grid, and there's multiverses. And so I'm sure it's absolutely infinite, like you're saying. But I think within our own grid, it's 33. And then we primarily operate 1 to 12 around Earth, and then 12 to 16 is where spirit guides reside and come in. So yeah.
Wow. I love, I've also heard that there's more chakras than the main. Yeah. How does that work?
Oh, 100%. I mean, so we have the main seven, and then those are the ones that we primarily really need to master, like the lessons of each chakra to help them awaken and open and operate properly. And then we have, so in Chinese medicine with the meridians, anywhere that you put a needle, that's a minor chakra point. So there's hundreds all over the body. And then we have these ones called transpersonal chakras, which are the higher dimensional chakras. And that's like, those are the ones that go beyond just within the physical body. So they have above the crown, we have a few, we have a causal chakra, which is really how we connect to higher light. And then we have our soul star chakra, which is, it has our soul essence and energy in it. And when we access that energy, we're taking on more of who we are, and we're more embodied with who, like the energy and essence of our soul. And then below our feet, we have something called the Earth Star. And that really is very helpful to activate for people that need grounding. And you can do that through meditation and things like that. But those are called transpersonal chakras. So we just have many. And then we also have minor chakras in the hands, the feet, behind the knees, in the ears. We have telepathic chakras that go around the eyebrows, kind of like where sunglasses would be. So we have many, 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 many chakras, but a good place to start is the seven if someone's new to the information.
I feel that. One time I got acupuncture to help with anxiety and grounding, and I'll never forget when she did my third eye right in between my eyebrows, like it hurt. And I would have blood flowing down my face. I don't want to scare you getting acupuncture. It's not as gory as it sounds, but I loved it. Like to feel my blood turn cold and just roll down my face. It felt like a release and massage. And she was like, oh dear, do you want me to take it out? And I was like, no, dig deeper. I don't know, like, what would that mean if one point on your whole, because I got my whole body done. You just lay there with the needles in you. But I was like, oh, put more in my third eye. Would that mean my chakra was closed?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not an acupuncturist, so I couldn't say like what that has to do with. I know one of my good friends is an acupuncturist with their own business, and she does things like they do a varicose vein draining and stuff where they intentionally bleed the vein. So I don't know like the science behind that, but I would say if there was like pain when the needle was inserted, that pain always means stagnation. So yeah, there was probably some kind of energetic block within those meridians. And the fact that it was only around the third eye, I would say for sure. And if the pain resolved, then you definitely cleared some energy.
Oh, I love it. Now I'm craving it again. It was literally like the best massage of my life. I'm going to go see her. It was in Charleston too.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you got into Akashic Records for your own healing. Did you just hear about them from a friend or on your own journey? Like,
It's a funny story, actually. Like, I didn't know anything about them. I've heard of them. I thought it was cool. Sounded really interesting. I've tried like a meditation once to do it and I got in, but I didn't know what to do with the information that I saw when I saw past life of myself. And so I just went right back out because I was like, oh my God, what was that? And then so for my podcast, I had someone that was scheduled to come on who's a Akashic reader. And I was like, I should probably do some research because I don't know anything about this. And so I started to do some research on it and read a few books. And then the first time I went into the records, like officially, you know, tried to go into the records, I just started crying. And I think that's because it was a big remembrance for me. It was something that I've done for many lifetimes and before Earth. And so when I connected into the heart of the Akashic Records, it was really an emotional thing. And I didn't even do any reading on myself that time. I just was like, okay, I'm just going to sit here, let the tears flow, and then I'll close the records. And then I'll go in tomorrow and see what I can do. And so from there, I started to go into the records and do readings on myself. And that's kind of how it started. And when you start opening your own records, everything is there. And so it could be a little overwhelming and it's completely honest. So you can't hide from any like version of the truth when it comes to doing your own readings and your own records. And so it's very eye-opening. And so it's a lot that comes up in the very beginning of that. But that's how it started. It wasn't anything that I planned. And it was very natural. And it was really, and then when I started doing readings like on friends, just to try it out, I just did a bunch of readings on friends. And they were all having amazing experiences and confirmations. And you get information, like I was saying, that you just have no idea why you're seeing it or why you're hearing it. And then they confirm it to be true, or whether they're crying or whether they're like, oh my gosh, like, or I knew this, I just needed the confirmation. And then that's how I started to build my trust in my own abilities. That was after many, many readings with many different people.
Yeah, you can imagine it takes a lot of practice to trust what you're seeing and know that what you're seeing is right. And I gotta tell you, when you read mine, spot on with everything. Not one thing you said that I scratched my head and thought, no, everything was just like shot after shot to the heart. Like I felt so seen and validated. And one thing during our reading cleared up a trauma that I've been holding on to since I was a teenager, just hearing the truth that what I did was right. And this is why it happened. And this is the past life connection. I mean, literally, like now I get a chance to look you in the face because we did it over the phone and say, hey. It changed my life, the whole trajectory, everything.
Oh, you're so welcome. That to me, it's so fulfilling. And I can't tell you how many times on myself and others that happens. And it's not planned. And it's like, you know, I don't know what's going to come forward. I remember, I think in our reading, one of the first things you asked me, like, well, what are my past lives? And I was like, oh man, there's a lot. So let's just see what comes forward. So I never know what's going to happen or how it's going to go or what's going to come forward. But usually it's like the guides and the records are the ones giving me the information and I'm just downloading it and sharing it. So I'm not actively going in and digging anywhere. Like I'm just getting the information, sharing it. And they always seem to know what the person needs to hear and that what they're ready for at the moment.
Yeah. And your website so beautifully explains the process of an Akashic Records reading. You really break it down in layman's terms so well. I'm fascinated. But basically, you know, give us a rundown. It's you channel, like, I think you describe it as an intergalactic library, right? And then you go through there and the librarian, which is a spirit guide, downloads it into you. And then you transmute it to the person you're reading for, right?
Yeah. So the Akashic Records are an energetic library that hold the information of everything that ever was on the planet Earth and anything like that inhabits planet Earth, including us, animals, mountains, nature, places. Everything has a record and it records everything, every thought, every intention, every mood, anything is recorded in the records. And the Akashic records are stored in different places. They're stored in the core of the earth. They're stored in, we call them the caves of creation, which are an etheric higher dimensional level inside the core of the earth. And when I say the core of the earth, I'm talking about etherically in the higher dimensional realms in the core, not the 3D molten core. And then they're also stored within the grids of the planet, the crystalline energetic grids of the planet. And then they're also stored within our DNA. And because they're stored within our DNA, anybody can access the records. We all have DNA. And it's really about activating the higher strands or the etheric strands beyond just the two. And when we do that, then we start to gain access to the records. And so the Akashic records really technically is about anything that ever happened on this planet and in our life, in our soul's journey. So this can be in this incarnation, or this can be in any of our past incarnations, parallel incarnations, future incarnations. And because even though we're human in this incarnation, many, many souls came from beyond Earth. They didn't just originate in Earth. We're galactic. We're beyond just coming here, and we're ancient. And so because of that, and it's stored in our DNA, we can access those files or those records through the records. And so that's where the galactic aspect comes in. That's usually for star seeds and where we trace back where they came from. And then I'll see cool experiences. And usually a lot of times when we do like galactic origins, for the most part, people will see something, like I'll just see a memory. I won't even know what it is. I'll just start sharing it. Then they'll tell me where it is, what planet it's on, or what star system it's from. And it's something I've never seen before, because it's not something you're going to find on Earth. So I'm just sitting here like, I can't make this up. Like this, I know what I'm seeing here. There's, I haven't seen this in a movie. Like this is okay. I'm just going to repeat it. And then the person usually has a big remembrance, and it usually is the start for them going on to that path of really discovering. It's like, you don't need to know what you are in order to live your life, but it can help to know your origin, like your energetic frequency and where it came from and where it kind of resonates, because then you just know yourself more. And, you know, so it's not about attaching to the label of like, I am this, I am that. It's more just about, oh, cool. Like now I understand myself better. In the same way with like astrology or human design or, you know, anything like that. Like, you don't identify with it, but at the same time, you just understand yourself better. So the galactic records are really, we can access that if a human, their soul has been from other places, and the majority of people have, but the majority. And so that's how it's accessed.
Now I don't feel so crazy, because my whole life, when I look at space, when I look at stars, I've been fascinated with it. I used to go to like big astronomy centers where they have the big telescopes and you can see Saturn's rings or the big spot on Jupiter, but I would get emotional. And most recently, my partner and I were in Marfa, Texas. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
Marfa, Texas. You should look it up. There's something there. There's a phenomenon there that nobody can explain called the Marfa lights. And I guarantee it's dimensions or beings from another dimension. But we happened to go there just on a whim one night, and there they were. And we thought it was an every night thing, but I guess it happens 12 times a year. And we just so happened to be there for it. And I remember feeling so emotional, like I was looking at my old family and I just wanted to go home with them. I wanted to say, hey, I'm done on Earth. Can I come home?
It's so funny that it didn't come up in our reading, and we did a really quick one. So we could, even the next time that we work together, we'll do just like the last half of that where we can go into the galactic. But I mean, Pleiadian is coming through so strong for you. So I'm sure you probably know that, or you've heard that already.
It feels like I'm homesick. That's just the only word I can think of. Like I saw my family behind a veil, and I was just like, take me home. I don't want to be on Earth anymore. This is hard shit.
Yeah, I know that feeling. It's really hard. But then once you make the connection, I think, with your team or with your family, you know, your family of light from that forever system, you know, it is that you resonate. Then a lot of times people start visiting in their dream state. And so it becomes less of a big distance between them and that energy, and then it becomes smaller and smaller. And so then the feeling of like missing it as much, not for everybody, because there's some star systems where like catastrophe occurred and then there is no planet anymore where they used to be. So that is kind of a real thing for a lot of people from like Lyra and different star systems. But like Pleiades, a lot of times it's just the connection needs to be bridged. And then once it's created, when you're sleeping, like, you know, you're doing all sorts of stuff. So usually that homesickness starts to subside a bit.
Better. Is that where you're from? Do you know which one you're from?
Arcturus.
How do you, and so how did you find that out?
Well, you know, it was a journey. And what's interesting too with readings is sometimes people, I've had readings, it's very rare, but where they're not supposed to hear the information from me because there's something, there's some kind of a journey that they have to go on themselves to discover that. And it would be impeding on their highest trajectory to actually just get the information given. I also recently had a reading with someone where he's like a complete Sirian starseed. And he was like crying when he heard it. And then he's like, how come I couldn't, I had readings like a year ago from different people. Why didn't they tell me that? And then I just saw a picture of him taking it and crumpling up a piece of paper and throwing it in the trash because it just wouldn't have mattered to him at that stage in his life. And so, you know, it's always interesting when the information comes through or does, like if it does or doesn't, there's always a reason for it. And I always trust it. I'll try to work around it and see if we can ask different questions. But if there's like still no answer, then there's definitely a reason for it. But yeah, with the star systems, I do this thing called Conversations with the Council of Light. It's a YouTube series that developed during the pandemic. Me and my friend Amy, she channels in her guides, these Council of Light, and I interview them. And so they had all the different star races, Lyra, Orion, Pleiades, Sirius, Arcturus, and missing one more, I'll remember. And so they had each energy, each person, like an ambassador, come through from each race and just give a transmission, an energy transmission, where they're just literally sending that energy or the frequency of that star. And that's when I started to realize which ones I had lives on. And because we've all, like, even if you're, let's just say from the Pleiades, you could have had lives on many different star systems. And so you resonate with different frequencies. And so I recognized the ones that I had lives on because I had a very strong emotional response. But then when the Arcturian one came through, I was crying. I was crying for days because it felt the same way that you were saying, where you're just like, oh my God, this is home. And I can't believe I've been separated from it for so long. And it still even sometimes makes me emotional thinking about it. But so that's how I knew. And then also just with friends and things like that, they've confirmed that too. So
Do you think souls, when we say reincarnations and past lives, so there's only one soul, it just shifts different dimensions? Is that right?
You mean our soul that we have?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a soul and it's eternal and it's infinite. So it doesn't, even through death or the transition of death, it doesn't die ever. It just transitions in energy to a different dimension, like you were saying. And it goes from different systems. So your soul, someone's soul can come from beyond this galaxy and millions of years ago have entered this galaxy, lived in many different star systems, and then came to Earth only recently. Or maybe they've been on Earth since, you know, thousands and thousands of years ago, and then they've just done different incarnation cycles. But time really isn't linear. So people, even though you have a soul, you can actually be experiencing multiple lives at the same time to kind of get the lessons and the experience or whatever it is that you're trying to gain from that lifetime. So it's hard to do the linear thing, but yes. Yeah. Long answer, you know, for
your question. Right. You know, after our reading, there were so many things that still stick with me today. Like, I've listened to our recording probably 5 times and I'm blown away each time. For everybody listening, I have had this strange connection, an obsession almost, with like Great Gatsby, The Notebook, Titanic, like that era. And I never understood why. Like, I don't watch movies. I'm not a movie buff. But if you put on anything from that era, I'm glued to it. And I watch it over and over. And I don't know if you remember, but when I said, I don't know what to ask, what are some of my past lives? You pulled one out and you said you were a very famous jazz singer in like the 1920s or something. You remember that?
I remember seeing the timeline and I remember seeing a big star. And I was like, oh, was this like the Wild Wild West? Like, I don't know what this means. And so I was like, let's just see what this means, because this one's jumping out. And then, yeah, I was like, is this flapper time? I didn't know. So I just described everything that I was seeing. And then I was you know, it was really cool to hear that that's, you actually were seeing that same version of you, like prior to the reading.
Yeah. And you had said, I see you have like short black hair that sits on your shoulders and like bangs that go. So after our call, don't laugh, but I Googled like famous jazz singers of the 1920s and they all, every single one of them, I don't know if it was just the style or what, but they all have short black hair on their shoulders and those tough bangs.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's harder to get names in the records, but we could ask. It was really, it was cool because I was like seeing you and I could feel the emotion of you singing on stage and performing. And it felt like I could sing, like if I could sing that way, it's like, I don't even, the level was so incredible and so much energy and like the whole room was being filled by it. And I was like, whoa. And then I realized you were famous when you were, when I saw you sitting after the performance backstage. And then I realized you had like a team of people that were like managing kind of everything in her life.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh wait, she's famous. So the star was showing that she was famous in that life. So yeah, I'm always piecing it together too as I'm seeing the information. But it was pretty like, I was like, whoa, this is really cool because I could see how you felt. Like I can, so during a reading, it's not only that I'm seeing, it's like everything. So I'll be hearing information, then I'll also feel the emotion of the situation. And so I could feel the emotion of, you know, who you were at that time. And then I think it was really profound because you were telling me after I showed you that image, how much that was resonating with how you are now in your life now.
100%. And it helped me too, because with Lightworkers Lounge, it's growing so big that sometimes I'll be on a flight and I'm sitting next to, this could just be the universe testing me, but I'll be sitting next to someone and they'll be listening to my podcast and then they'll make the connection like, wait a second. And then people get all like, I've met people at farmers markets, downtown places, and they'll see my pug. And then they'll be like, wait, are you? And they'll get excited and kind of like fangirl a little bit. And I'm always like, no, I don't want to be famous. I don't want to be famous. No, I'm a normal person. And so now I'm like, well, I love what I do. And I love that these people say, you changed my life. You've helped me. It's the best feeling in the world, but I don't want fame. I don't want to have a household name. I don't. And I wonder if it's because I had that and I realize it's not all it's caked up to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's a lot we could say about that. I think like, if you really understand now what goes into making someone famous and viral, it's like a lot more of it is calculated, I think, than people understand. But I think, you know, these things, that was a gift, but it was also, there was some healing that was needed there because I think there was a lot of control in that life and you didn't have a lot of freedom with your image and who you were. So usually they show me the lives, if it's a past life thing, of something that needs to come up because there's a pattern still held in the energy that's creating some kind of a block or some kind of an issue in your life now. And so that's usually why they'll show me past lives, or they'll show me past lives for gifts. Like, you know, if someone was a shaman or something, that will come up. And then whenever we've done something in the past, technically, like, you know, the past, whenever we've lived a life and we've like accrued these different skills, they are very easily accessed within our energy now. So if you were a shaman or a holistic healer or a medicine woman or man or a famous person or a singer, whatever it is, those things come very, very naturally and easily to you in this life. And it's very easy for you to unlock that compared to maybe someone that's never lived a life like that. So I think for you, it was both. It was a gift and also it was something that needed, you know, some attention. So
yeah, just listening to you, so much is coming up because I'm very comfortable. People, you know, I was just on a show last week where they said, it's so admirable how vulnerable you are in front of thousands and thousands of people. But to me, I'm like, I thank you for calling me brave, but like, I just see it as drinking a glass of water. I'm not afraid of it. It doesn't scare me to show my heart on stage. Oh, look at that line.
No, it is amazing. Because I was thinking about that, like, I think a lot more private, and that you're just like, super like, no, let's share it. And before we did our reading, I was like, I don't know, maybe we should not do this live because things come up that are super private.
Yeah.
But like, it's amazing. Part of me wishes I could be like that, you know, just like, okay, whatever, let's just do it. Because I feel like you make such a strong connection with people when you're actually just totally just open. That's something I'm working on myself.
do you think, because truly I'm thankful for the compliments I get on it, but it's just, it's as easy as breathing to me. Do you think that has something to do with being this uber famous singer? I'm just so used to the stage and people looking at me.
I think you're very comfortable with that. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think it's beyond just that. I think, you know, lots of us have lived many lives. So I'm sure there's many, many different things. And I'm sure you didn't. So for a lot of people like that have issues with public speaking or being like vulnerable like that, a lot of times there was a lot of wounding for them. Like they were in the witch trials, or they were, you know, a priest or someone that if they shared the information, they would be killed in the past, in the old energy that we had. And so that's why a lot of times a lot of people have issues with like speaking their truth in this life. A lot of times it stems from past lives because of the actual persecution that would occur. So I don't think that you were lucky that you didn't really have much of that to overcome. So I think there's many reasons why someone is the way that they are. But
so cool. Yeah. And of course, I'm with a really amazing man right now. He's my best friend. And I asked you about that. I said, have we had any past life connections? And we briefly talked about it because it was easy. I don't know if you remember, but you said, yeah, you guys have. And every life you guys were in a very supportive role. And it was so funny because the way we met was he was a big fan of the podcast and I was helping him through my teachings about going through a divorce and relationship issues. And in turn, he was like my greatest fan. He bought all my merchandise. He subscribed to my bonus chats. Like he has always supported me. And so then we became friends after that, still dating other people. And then it just very organically turned into a romantic pairing. And he still to this day, even though we live together, he supports me more than anybody.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I actually didn't know that. I do remember though, after our reading, like almost crying when I heard your connection, like how connected you guys are in spirit, not even just physically, but I was like, wow, this is like such a beautiful soulmate relationship that they have. And like you guys, you found each other. It's so awesome.
It's the most organic relationship I've ever had in my life. I feel very lucky. I went through hell to get here, but I would do set at 444. I would do it 5 times over to get him again. But okay, another part of this, and I don't know if you remember this. I know you get readings every day, but my partner Jordan and I, when we were just friends and we would talk every single day, he lived in Texas, I lived in Colorado. So we hadn't even met each other in person and we had a strong connection. One time we were like, okay, we both had a rough day. Let's meet together at like 10 p.m. and do a meditation together. Like, okay, we're on the phone. Let's 10 p.m. turn our phones off and meditate and come back at 10:10 and talk about what we saw. And so the very first time we did this, we both came back and said, okay, what did you see? How was your meditation? And he's like, you go first. I said, okay, I saw a gold field, like gold wheat or a gold marsh or just a field of gold something, like maybe in the Midwest. I don't know. And he was like, oh, that's exactly where I was. And so at the end of our reading, I don't even think I asked you about this, but you were like, wait, wait, wait. I know our time's up, but something is coming in strong. You're like, I see a little girl in a gold field. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think you were asking about kids or something, and they'll show me whoever in spirit is around waiting that you've been communicating with. And if there's no one, there's no one. And if there's more than one, like it'll just depend. And then, but instead of just seeing, usually I see like a cartoon version of a little girl or a boy. Instead of seeing that, I saw like her face and she had little blonde pigtails in that golden field. And it looked like there was sun everywhere. And it was like during sunset. And it was exactly what you're saying, like a marsh or something or a field and with all like the wheat. And I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. Like she looks so happy. And then when I shared that with you and you shared your story, exactly. I was like blown away.
Spot on. And remember you said she had like a little cartoon alien on her, or she was showing you a cartoon alien?
No, she came out of a little cartoon UFO. So to me, whenever I see that, that's when it's a star seed. It's a little star beam coming in. They usually show me just like a cartoon version of a UFO with like a beam. And that tells me that they are coming in from another star.
So is it possible that someone who's about to have a child, it would be from Earth? And like, what would that look like?
Yeah, I've never seen that. It's way more rare, I think, to have people come from Earth. A lot of times they come from usually a different universe anyway, but they'll come from an elemental realm and come up, and they're very, very new. I haven't personally ever had a reading where that's occurred. So I haven't seen that, but that's like much smaller. I think now almost every kid coming in is a star seed. Very rarely will I see like an earth angel. That's definitely more rare, but star seeds, I think, like, you know, we call them rainbow kids, crystal kids, all these things, but that's just a different way of describing their energy and how it fits into their body, but they're not from here.
Yeah. And the other interesting part of it was you said, okay, I see this little girl. She is clear as day, super happy, but beyond her is a little boy. And you said it was like trying to tune in to the right TV dial. He was coming in, going out, coming, right?
Yeah, blinking. Yeah. And I think when that happens, it's because you guys are talking, but they're, you know, the kids interview the parents. So it's not just like we are like the ones looking for a kid. It's like the kids can go, and, you know, there's many people that are ready to have kids, and they can be in any situation. This isn't just them. This is on their higher level that they're communicating with your higher levels, but the kids are the ones interviewing the parents to come in. And so I don't know if, like, and, you know, it's a mutual decision. So I don't know. I think we were coming towards the very end that day. But I think, yeah, he was blinking because you guys were still in communication. It wasn't solidified if that was something he definitely wanted to do yet. But the girl was solid. Yeah, she was there.
She's like, I am here. I am ready. And it's true. You know, I haven't really shared this on the podcast, but because I'm open and vulnerable, my partner already has 2 children from a previous relationship, and I don't have any. And I always wanted to be a mom. And so we said, okay, well, maybe we'll just have 1, because then we'll have a family of 3, and that's a lot. But I think deep down in both of our minds, we're like, I feel like there would be another one. I don't know. 3's pretty crowded. I don't know. So the way you described it as blinking was like, exactly.
That's so funny. Yeah. I'm sure it'll get more clear in time the next, you know, however, whenever it is you're deciding and they decide, but there's a lot that goes into the planning.
A lot. So if I were to go into my own Akashic records, could I communicate with that boy, with that being? Is that something you can do?
You could. You can get information on anything, really. It's less like, it's kind of a little bit like a medium, but it's not. Like, mediums can do that. Mediums will like communicate directly with the spirit of whatever being it is that their person wants to hear from, whether it's a passed on loved one or even an unborn child. Like, that can occur. And in the records, that can occur if that's what you wanted, if you wanted to hear a message from them. So you definitely could, but it's more like, imagine that you just wanted to pull the information of the potentials or the possibilities of anything, let's say in the case of a future potential child. That's when you'd be communicating with your own guides in the records, and then they'll answer your questions and they'll show you whatever it is that's necessary. But sometimes there's things that they just won't give answers on, because for whatever reason that would affect or alter the way that we potentially would live our life or take the information. So there are some things, if you went into your own records, that if you weren't supposed to know yet, that you just wouldn't know.
Wow. How often do you read your own records?
Oh, well, it used to be daily. It was daily for quite a long time. And now it's kind of like, I don't know, like 2 or 3 times a week, whenever there's something that's like pressing, or sometimes I'm curious about collective issues. Like, I'm like, well, what's going to happen? I'm hearing all this stuff and it seems crazy. Let me tune in so I can see what's happening. But I also, you know, I go into the records at least 3 times a week when I'm doing sessions. So that's for them. But for me, it's usually if there's like a pressing issue, or if there's any questions. Sometimes I'll just wake up in the morning and I'll have all these questions. And I'm like, okay, it's time. And so, but there was a phase in the very beginning where I was going in every single day, because it's just, I was like, oh my God, this is crazy information. I can't believe it. There's no other way I would have been able to figure this out. For me, this was the method that I was able to communicate with my guides and discover it all. And I knew the information I was getting was really legitimate when they started giving me like scientific names for different planetary bodies and things like that, that I would not know, like M, you know, whatever class, whatever nebula or something. And I have no idea. I just type into Google whatever the information was, and then it's in the proper star system. And so that's when I started to also trust myself with it too, because I was like, okay, this is information I have no idea about. Like, I don't know these names. I don't know this stuff. And so then that's when I started to really trust what I was receiving.
Gosh, I've got to learn how to do this. I know I have the power in me. I'm just nowhere near as grounded or rooted as I feel I need to be. Like, what is your process? I'm covered in truth bumps, by the way. I'm just so mad. I'm like leaning on the edge of my seat. Like, damn. What does your process look like? Like, do you have a sacred altar in your house? Do you go into a deep meditation? Do you take mushrooms, smoke weed? What do you do?
I don't do any drugs or anything like that. I don't do any like weed or mushrooms or psychedelics or anything. I feel like that would just
mess up the flow.
It's not for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just not my path. But so for me, when I was first discovering the records, there's like a prayer that you can use to log in. Other people teach it where you like shamanic journey into the records, like etherically you do that. I don't do that method. I feel like it's kind of like your lower personality is going into these like higher dimensional places, and like you can kind of muck things up a little bit. So I don't go in with my, you know, energy. I raise my, so what happens is the records are in the eighth dimension. So when we're grounding and we're breathing, like I'll first make sure I ground. I'll also bring in a lot of protection, because whether I'm doing my own reading or for another person, you go places. And when I'm remote viewing, if you're remote viewing, it's like you bend time and space and create an opening, and then you're there. And so it's not just like you're just viewing like a movie. It's kind of interactive to the point where it's like a virtual reality and you're kind of in that time. And so I never know where I'm going to go, or what's going to happen, or who I'm going to see, or the energies that I'm going to encounter. So whenever you start working in the records, it is really important to have proper energetic protection. And so for me, I'll just share what I do. So I bring in Christ light, so golden Christ light. You can visualize it like an egg around you, around your aura, like the outer edge of your aura. So about maybe 3 feet in every direction. And then I'll call in my team. And I'll call in my guides, and I work with the archangels as well. So I'll call in the members of the archangel family that I work with, which is Michael, Metatron, and Raphael. And so I'll set all of that up before I go in, whether it's for myself or a client reading, because I just want to be prepared. So I'm grounded. I'm energetically protected. I call in my team. And then I guess it's kind of like a meditative state, but I'm not like leaving my body or anything like that, like channeling in that capacity. I'm present. I'm just sitting there and I'm breathing. And then once I'm in the records, it's like what happens is a column of light comes down and it surrounds me. And if I'm doing a reading, then it'll go out to the person horizontally and then surround them, this pillar of light. And then that's the information. So when I go in, I'm connecting with my guides in the records. Or if I'm doing a reading, then I'm connecting to the person's guides in the records. And then whenever we ask a question, and the way we go in is using the legal name and date of birth. Whenever we ask a question, it's like I ask, they instantaneously, there's no time delay. They get the file, they get the information, and then they share it with me, whether that's through a movie, words, like visual words in front of me that I'm seeing, like things that I'm hearing, or emotions, or sometimes physically in my body, I'll feel it. I don't like doing that so much anymore because that would be really intense. So I dial that down for myself. And if you're an empath, I think, and there's so many of us that are empaths and you're interested in working the records, it's just important to know that you can regulate and modulate your own gifts and turn up and turn down your sensitivity when needed. And for me, at least, I turn down my sensitivity when I'm in the records, when it comes to the emotional aspect and the physical aspect, because it can be a little bit like someone gets beheaded. Yeah, I don't want to feel that. So I want to make sure that I'm not, you know, like fully immersed in that way. And I give myself space. But I think, so then when I'm in the records, you know, I ask a question, the information comes in, and whatever way it comes in, it's downloaded. And then if I'm with someone doing a reading, I share it. And if it's just for me, usually I'm just taking it in strides. And then when I'm done with my own reading and I exit the records, then I'll usually write down in my journal everything, like notes of whatever occurred, just and the date, just so it's like in this grounded reality and it didn't all happen, you know, etherically. And whenever I do a session, I record the session, and then, you know, the person has it for their own. So they can listen to it as many times as they want. But I will say, for people that are interested in going into the records, it is important to really clear yourself and your energy as much as you can. And like I was saying, it's DNA related. And so doing things to activate the higher strands of the DNA, meaning the etheric strands, like the ones that are non-physicalized, that are light, made of crystalline light. And that can really help people access their records. And that's done, like meditation is one of the best ways, because outside of also just activating your crystalline, like the light body within you and your DNA, you have to be able to concentrate. And if you can't sit still and for 5 minutes and just like breathe and be, it's going to be very challenging to do a reading in the records, because you're going to be all over the place. So there's some aspects to that, but I would say meditation is like the biggest one. And then all the things that I'm sure like you've shared on your podcast already that you would do to raise your frequency. So like eating organic and, you know, limiting EMFs and all these things, and watching what you watch and what you listen to, and, you know, all of the above. Oh, I love that, but we're going.
My organite pyramid, get rid of all the negative energy in this motorhome that comes through. You know, I think people have to be prepared, right? When they go into the records, they have to have a question ready.
Yeah. Well, I didn't, the first time I went in, like I was telling you, well, the first time I went in was like years ago, and that was kind of a mistake. It was in a meditation, and I'll just share this. Like, I saw a past life of myself where I was like in an apron or something, and some very old time, like it was like I was breaking bread in a house, and I had like a family, and the old version of me was like, I just need this gem. Give me this gem. And I was like, should I give her a gem? Like, what's going on here? And I didn't know what to do. And so I was like, is this going to alter things? Like, I was like, and I had no training at all. And so I gave her this big citrine looking gem, and then I left. And I was always like, oh my God, what did I do? And now I know that when we're working in the records, a lot of times we can't necessarily alter what happened in a physical reality, but what we can do is alter the memory. And so when things, and we can also heal the energy of that time. And so that's more on the lines of Akashic clearings. And so that'll occur when I'm doing a reading, and let's say we go into a past life. And usually that takes a majority of the reading. It takes some time because it's energy healing, but usually I'm not doing it. It's the angels or their guides that are doing it. Where let's just say it's like a past life in Egypt or something, where someone was a slave, we can't necessarily change what happened, but we can change the memory and alter and release the memory and heal the memory and the energy of that lifetime that needs to be integrated or just released up into the light. And so then usually the angels will come in and they will start to heal or clear, you know, if there was shackles on the ankles, they'll take those off. They'll start to clear the energy of the person, bring healing light. And then usually it's up to the person that I'm working with. I'll be guided, but then I always leave it up to them if they should integrate that into their heart or if they should just let that energy go into the light for healing. And so it's interesting. That's more along the lines of Akashic clearings. And that usually happens when someone comes to me and they say, hey, I have this issue and I don't know why I'm afraid of this or why I'm having this major problem and I have this phobia and I can't figure it out. It makes no sense. And then we'll go in, and then usually that's when the healing will start to occur.
I feel like everybody you ask has a weird phobia with no traumatic. Like, I remember my aunt, she is terrified of bridges. Like, even on a highway, if she sees a bridge coming up, she's like, oh, it's like, why? What is up with that? I hope the Age of Aquarius really brings in Akashic records readings and Akashic clearings as like a real modality of healing, because it could provide so much.
It really is. And what I will say about the energy now is that the Akashic records are being cleared of the lower, denser energies. And this is why a lot of people are having sleep disturbances. And this is also why a lot of people are, their gifts are turning on, because all of the old dense stuff and the karmic stuff is like, it doesn't resonate anymore with the energy that's coming in. So it has to be cleared out with all the light coming in. And so a lot of people I'm noticing, like this is something that I really had to learn, because the old teachings don't teach you this, but you can clear your karma. You can clear old karma. You can clear old remembrances and negative remembrances that are in your soul records, that are in your Akashic records, through working in the records or just through meditation and intention. You don't have to, you're not obligated to, unless on a higher self level you want to live that stuff out anymore. Whereas in before 2012, you kind of did. You were obligated, you were bound. And now it's not like that anymore. So the opportunity for massive karmic clearing on a personal, individual level and a collective level is so, that's how it is now. It's just so easy. It's very possible. Whereas in before it wasn't. And so a lot of people, like, especially because I came from, I was telling you, like, my parents went in an ashram, very much a yogic perspective my whole life, where like karma is law, you know, like that is how it is. And so I had to almost like retrain myself when I was working in the records to be like, wait, I can clear this. I don't need to go through this cycle over and over again to pay my, you know, what I perceive to be a debt when it's no longer a debt because it's already been paid and I'm just looping right now. So I can clear this energy. And so this is very possible for a lot of people. And I think I'm hoping to teach a course in this soon, probably at the end of this year or the middle of this year, because there's so many people that are like, how? And I'm like, it's possible. It's very possible to go into your records, but there is quite a bit of preparation, you know, prior to going in that I would recommend, because you're opening Pandora's box. And so you've got to be prepared for whatever comes up, because a lot of times the things that start to surface and the timelines that come up to be healed that surface in your records or in a reading, you kind of live that reflected in your reality and your experience. And sometimes even the people from that timeline that are now reincarnated come into your life. And so a lot can open up. And so you have to really be ready to like face those shadow aspects, especially in the beginning. Like a lot of clearing comes up with the shadow aspects. So you have to be ready to handle that stuff. Wow. So that's something I think that I was not prepared for at first. But then now it's like, now that I've done a lot of that clearing and that work, it's, you know, it's interesting. Because think about it, like, everybody wants to picture themselves in the highest light, but now imagine you had to learn that you were the villain or you were the one that didn't do some really good things, you know, and then you have to live with that and that knowledge. And then it's a lot, it can be a lot psychologically if you aren't not like separating yourself from the information and seeing it from the higher perspective, which is what the records does. But it's just, yeah, it's a lot when you open the records in the beginning. And I don't think enough people talk about that.
Yeah, especially if someone was doing it by themselves. That, you know, I wouldn't open my own until I like took a full course with you or practice one-on-one with you or a mentor. You know, I think everybody should have, if you're suffering from something physically wrong with your body, I think nobody wants to go to Western Med anymore. They want an naturopathic doctor, an herbalist, acupuncturist, Akashic records reader. Yoga, I think it takes a team to really bring you back to homeostasis, which is what I'm gathering here in Charleston. And before I even got here, like, you were the one that really kicked it off by reading my records, even if it was just a short 30-minute reading. The ahas, the validation, the so much that came from it just cleared my soul, cleared my womb, cleared all of my chakras. It was awesome.
Oh my God, I'm so glad. Thank you. It was so fun to do. I was like amazed with your session. I don't actually see a lot of famous people in my reading. So I was like, oh, this is cool. I knew a famous person.
Yeah. And it's funny that, or maybe it's funny, my name is Stephanie Powers, and that's a very famous actress from the 80s. So I always, since I was a little girl and can remember people talking to me, I've always been asked, are you related to the famous actress? So the word fame and famous has always been in my aura since I was born. Mm-hmm. So cool. So Kat, where can people get a reading from you?
Oh yeah. They can find me online at katfowler.com on my website, and anything, all the information is there for Akashic Records readings and for energy healing, which I do as well. And so that can all be booked online. And yeah, and I have my podcast as well called The Soul Awakening Podcast, where it's we talk about some similar things, but it kind of goes a little bit into the galactic space quite frequently.
Love it. Yeah. You mentioned something, and I've been seeing this too, but the colors blue and pink. Do you remember posting about that in your Instagram?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
Why am I seeing that? And this might be TMI, but that's what Lightworkers Lounge is here for. I see it when I'm making love to my partner, pink and blue.
Oh, well, that's interesting. So I'll show you this picture here. I don't know, obviously, if it's going to translate when we're doing the reading, but so this is the picture of the.
Yes, that's what I see.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yes.
So this is called the threefold flame of the heart, and it's within what we call like the sacred chamber of the heart. And so these are plumes of energy. And so the middle is yellow or gold. And then there's the blue, which is the divine, you know, masculine aspect. And then there's the pink, and there's different interpretations of what these mean. Like some say it means wisdom and then love, each of these plumes. But really, a lot of times what I've seen in sessions is like, they'll have to be balanced. So somebody will be, one of them will be a little bit depleted. And so then that energy will come through and it'll go right into their heart. And I wouldn't understand why I was always seeing these colors and that why they were always going into the heart. At first I thought it was like a star thing, you know, like maybe it's like, oh, a Pleiadian thing or something. But I think with your partner, what's happening is you're just really activating your like true heart center. Like you're, it's a true heart activation for you. And that's why you're seeing the energies. I feel like, and what I'm getting for you guys is that you guys balance each other. So you're getting whatever energies you need through the interaction. And he is also receiving energy from you. And so it's like a really perfect partnership where it's, you're getting the aspects needed and he's getting the aspects needed.
100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and mine, whenever I see them, they're like a soft pastel baby blue and baby pink. It's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's really cool. That's like a really beautiful activation, because when you start working from the heart, like, and I know you were saying earlier, like, oh, I feel like I'd wait to go in my records. I feel like you could go in your records, like anyone can go, because it's like, it'll meet you where you're at in the beginning. And so if you just want like simple information that isn't anything too deep and entrenched in the shadow stuff, like
Okay. You
can stay on that level. But a lot of times outside of the DNA activation, there needs to be heart coherence in order to really hear the information. And that means like you are like fully, you're embodying and living from your heart and not just the mental realms and the mind. And then when you get the information, you'll know it's true because you can feel it. You're not just like with logic thinking and trying to confirm, but it's a very heart-based thing. And so, I mean, for you, I think that's what's happening. You're getting these full-on heart activations with your partner and your partnership, which is really beautiful. And then that's going to allow so much information to come through. Like our connection with our higher self comes through the heart. So much comes through the heart. So that's really exciting
for you. Yeah, you know, now that you say it, when I go into my mind, because we are both so soulful deep, we both have Scorpio moons, like sex is a sacred act for us. It's a very spiritual thing. And I'll see those light pink, baby blue colors, and then I'll immediately receive visions of like us in the future, or us just clear as day visions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's like you're going into your heart, and then that's, the heart is the portal to the higher aspects of ourselves and the higher levels. And so it's not, I know people think it's like, oh, well, it's the third eye. And if I can open my third eye, then that means that I'll be able to see everything. And it's, yes, there's a part of that, but really it's going into the heart. Because when you are tapped into your heart, then you connect. It's like the portal that brings in and strengthens the frequency of your soul and your higher self. And that's how you can connect with your guides and all sorts of information. And that's why a lot of people who like never felt anything psychic in their life, like they're so connected to God or there's, you know, source energy, whatever you want to say, because they're living from the heart. And so that's super beautiful.
Gosh, I think we need to read our Akashic records. I feel like you and I have known each other before.
Oh, for sure. When I remember being like telling my partner, I was like, wow, she's so cool. Like, I want to hang out with her.
Yeah. I don't feel like this is the first time we're meeting. I feel like we have before.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Oh. I felt the same way. And I was like, oh, we kind of like, we're in a similar line of work. Like there's a lot of similarities there. And now Yes. You're inspiring me to do some moving at some point.
Yes.
In my life.
Hell yeah. Good. And I watched your Instagram, some of the memes you share. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's got the same sense of humor as me. This is fantastic.
That's awesome. I feel Okay. The same way for sure.
Thank you so much for coming on Lightworkers Lounge. I would absolutely love to have you back. And once COVID is over and I have a studio, please come visit.
I would love to. I would love to.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, I'm hooked. I think I was bitten by the Akashic Records bug. I want to get like 5 more readings and ask so many questions about so many past lives, so many habits I've brought into this life that I've stopped and said, what is this? Have you guys ever had one of those weird fears where you're like, why am I so afraid of this? Like, I know someone who's afraid of driving under bridges. I'm terrified of elevators and I have no reason to be. I love it. Akashic Records are so Cool. So you guys heard Kat. You can find her at katfowler.com. You can find her on Instagram at katfowler. And you know where to find us, at Lightworkers Lounge, and my personal account at Stephanie's_destiny. And our website, lightworkers-lounge.com. I think I'm going to end this episode with a smooth jazz song. You know, I just stayed in Charleston for a month or so. And Etta James, this is who I think I was in a past life. This song is called Sunday Kinda Love. I'll see Friday bonus chat subscribers this Friday for an energetic update, and everybody else next Wednesday on the main stage.
I want a Sunday kind of love, a love to last past Saturday night, and I'd like to know it's more than love at first sight. And I want a Sunday kind of love. Oh, yeah, yeah. I want a love that's on the square. Can't seem to find somebody, someone to care. And I'm on a lonely road that leads to nowhere. I need a Sunday kind of love. I do my Sunday dreaming, oh yeah, and all my Sunday scheming, every minute, every hour, every day. Oh, I'm hoping to discover a certain kind of lover.